everyone, welcome back to Southern Ghost Stories, where we talk about some of the most haunted places in the South. I'm your host Chelsea, along with Alan.
Hey there.
We hope you enjoyed our last podcast on the Old Jail in St. Augustine, Florida. If you're interested in finding out more information about the Old Jail or other haunted locations around St. Augustine, check out our St. Augustine Ghost Map app, which allows you to also practice social distancing if you're ready to get out of that house. You can also visit our website at southernghoststories.com, which features several of our books. Today, we're going to head to Red Boiling Springs, Tennessee to talk about the Thomas House. Alan, can you go ahead and give us a little background on the building?
In the early 20th century, when people went on vacation, they didn't go to the beach. Back then, there was no air conditioning, and unless you wanted to live close to the ocean, it wasn't a premier vacation destination like it is today. When people wanted to get away and relax, they went to a mineral springs resort. Going to these resorts was thought to not only be therapeutic, but was also good for you as well. By drinking and bathing in mineral water, it was thought that you'd feel better, and any nagging injuries or illness you had, they would just go away. In the early 1900s, buses began to take people to Red Boiling Springs, Tennessee twice a day, where there were several popular resorts where guests could be around the supposed healthy water that had healing properties. The town's population ballooned from 800 to several thousand each weekend. President Woodrow Wilson even came to town to check out the sulfur water for himself in the early 1920s.
One of the most popular resorts in Red Boiling Springs was Hotel Cloyd, built by the Cloyd family. The Cloyds were a prominent family in Kentucky, and their hotel consisted of 25 luxurious rooms and was actually built over two springs to help keep the building cool during the hot summers before air conditioning was available. In 1926, the hotel burned down. It was rebuilt a few years later, but struggled to regain its footing as automobiles became more popular and people started taking trips to places like the mountains in Gatlinburg, Tennessee, or even the beach along the Gulf of Mexico. The hotel changed hands numerous times in the 20th century, as many people thought that they could be the ones to turn the property around.
In 1973, the hotel was bought by a professional wrestler named Lester Morgan. Morgan actually wrestled in the WWF a few years before the promotion caught fire with Hulkamania in the late 80s. Morgan kept a bear in the hotel and would wrestle it at various shows in the area from time to time. Unfortunately, Morgan didn't have the hotel very long. He got into a nasty court battle with the realtor who sold him the property. He thought they had misled him. It seems like Morgan thought he would get rich quick after buying the hotel. Once he saw how hard it was to get people to come to a resort in the middle of nowhere, he wanted his money back. The hotel changed hands a few times before it was bought by a quote-unquote group of like-minded individuals. It was renamed the Anzara Hotel. Those group of like-minded individuals, they were actually a cult. After a while, people in Red Boiling Springs came together and threatened to burn the place down, but fortunately it didn't come to that as the cult ran out of money in 1992 and they had to shut it down.
In 1993, the hotel was sold to the Cole family and it was rebranded and renamed the Thomas House. The hotel began to hold plays and other live performances. Different rooms were decorated with different themes like Christmas or Gone with the Wind. However, the Thomas House is best known for being one of the most haunted places in Tennessee.
When the Coles took over the hotel, one of the new owners began to have vivid dreams about a little girl named Sarah, and he could see her walking down the hall and hear people calling out to her. Then weird things started happening. One night a psychic came to stay at the hotel and said she saw a little girl running around the property. She told the Coles that the girl was named Sarah. After this revelation that backed up what the family already thought, they did some research. And it turns out that at one time there was a little girl named Sarah who came to Hotel Cloyd in the early 1900s. She had stomach problems, and her family believed that the mineral water would cure her. Unfortunately, she didn't make it and passed away in the hotel. Room 37 is now called Sarah's room. Guests that stay in the room claim to hear a little girl from time to time, and her voice has been captured on EVP singing. One guest claimed to see her in the corner of the room holding her stomach. Sarah has been known to move things like pillows or stuffed animals around the room and sometimes plays tricks on the guests. One of the strangest stories I heard took place in room 19. An amateur ghost hunter put up a deer camera in the room while she slept, and she wanted to see if she'd catch anything moving around. After her stay, she went home to review the footage, and to her surprise, she caught the apparition of a woman in her room moving around. You can actually see the image in our book, Southern Ghost Stories, Haunted Hotels.
In room 42, one night, guests overheard two people talking about killing someone and how to dispose of the body. Shocked at what they were hearing, they quietly got down on the floor and looked under the door to see who was planning the murder. To their surprise, no one was there. Room 18 is a fun room, especially if you want to sleep in a bed that jumps around with you in it. According to the Coles, the bed originally belonged to P.T. Barnum of the Barnum & Bailey Circus. Originally, the bed was bought along with another bed that came off of one of those P.T. Barnum's train cars.
However, after it was believed that the beds were possessed, the wife of the person who bought them burned one and demanded that they get rid of the other. Lucky for the Coles and their guests, that bed is now in room 18. When I visited the Thomas House, I didn't have anything out of the ordinary happen to me, with the exception of room 16. That was the room that the Coles grandmother lived in before she passed away. I was told that the family believes that she is still there. When I went into the room, my EMF meter went nuts. It was the only part of the house I had any kind of activity with the meter. The dining room is also extremely haunted. Over the years, the family and visitors tell stories of seeing shadows moving around in the room. The source of the activity is said to be a little boy who drowned on the property named Billy. Billy is said to be an extremely active spirit and has been caught talking to guests on EVP sessions. Billy has a distinctive lisp, so you know it's him when he's on the recordings. There is also another spirit that resides at the Thomas House. The Cole family call him the Whistler. The family and the visitors have heard the spirit whistling around the house every now and then. It's believed that the Whistler is a ghost of one of the Cloyds that died many years ago.
So if you think the Thomas House is creepy and sounds like a fun place to do some ghost hunting, wait, there's more.
We haven't even brought up the haunted church across the street.
In 1920, the Cloyds built a non-denominational church for their guests to worship in. Doors have been known to open and slam shut, and people have even been pushed by an unseen entity inside the building. There's even a rocking chair in front of the church that rocks back and forth on its own from time to time.
From what I understand, the Coles recently tore the church down, so it's no longer available to investigate.
We hope you enjoyed this episode on the Thomas House. If you would like to learn more about haunted locations around Middle Tennessee, download the Nashville Ghost Map app in iTunes and Google Play. Also, be sure to check out our website, southernghoststories.com, which also features several of our books. Feel free to leave a comment or send us a message on our Facebook or Instagram accounts. Let us know about any creepy experiences you may have had, and feel free to give us some ideas on new locations you'd like to hear about on future shows.
And those books that Chelsea mentioned are Southern Ghost Stories, Historical Hauntings, Ghost of Gallatin, Haunted Hotels, and Murfreesboro, Spirits of Stones River. Now be sure to subscribe and leave a 5-star review. Those reviews are very helpful, and we really appreciate everyone who's taken a few minutes to do it for us. Please check back with us next time as we head down to Savannah, Georgia, to talk about the Gribble House.
Check out our St. Augustine Ghost Map app, which allows you to customize your own ghost tour, along with several of our books, Historical Hauntings, Ghost of Gallatin, and our most recent, Stones at Spirit. Ugh. Today, we're going to head to Red Boiling Springs, Tennessee.
In 1973, the hotel was bought by a professional wrestler named Lester Morgan.
Lester Morgan!
Brother.
Please check back with us next time as we head down to Savannah, Georgia to talk about the Gribble House.
Gribble?
Gribble?
Gribble.
Gribble, gribble.
Sounds like griddle.
Gribble.
That sounds like waffles.
You like waffles?
Mm-hmm.